Methods of worship, music, length of services. These are things that vary from denomination to denomination. But what is the common thread we should all share? Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Presbyterians and Baptists or whatever, other churches down the road, they don't do things exactly the way we do it. We don't do it exactly the way they do it and all that. So what? Do you love Jesus? Are you united over the essentials that Jesus Christ is Lord? Amen. That he is risen. Amen. Are you united over the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that is mentioned in Scripture? Are you united over the virgin birth, the things that are essential to our salvation? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Hello again, and welcome to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman from Calvary Worship Center. Find your place in the book of 1 Thessalonians as we concentrate on the first four verses of chapter 1 today. Do you feel as though your life is falling apart? You've lost your job, your family life is a mess, or you've had a bout with COVID or are facing tremendous persecution? What's going to sustain you and keep you going? Well, that's the place the Thessalonians were in, and we'll see what keeps them going in a moment. As Al Pittman takes us through this study, we'll notice three valuable insights about the church.
See, back in the day, we didn't have websites. You had to labor. Amen. You had to labor. You had to dress right. You had to walk. You couldn't go on the website and just type something in, and I want to see you, and then send you one of those Photoshop pictures of yourself and send that to the person. They don't even look nothing like you. Amen. You had to walk up to a sister. Amen. You had to have a little game, you know what I'm saying? Amen. You had to work for it, amen. Y'all lazy today, but we had to work for our stuff, amen. I'm just saying. It was labor. And then once you get them, you got to keep laboring. That's another sermon. We'll just move on. You got married, you thought your troubles were over. Amen. But the idea here, when he talks about labor of love within the church, is the idea that true love always costs us something. True love always costs us something. There is no such thing as costless discipleship. So many believers in the church looking for a costless discipleship. I want to go to a church where it don't cost me anything. Well, you shouldn't go to church, because discipleship always costs you, or it's not discipleship. A relationship which costs us nothing is no relationship at all. In fact, it is merely selfishness in disguise. When you read the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, I get the feeling that it's going to cost me something. Because as I read the definition, it doesn't describe Al Pittman, but it describes Jesus. And if I'm going to be like Jesus, it's going to cost me something. Listen to the definition. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. That ain't Al Pittman, but it's Jesus. And I know that for me to truly labor in love for my wife, for this congregation, that it's got to cost me something. Love comes with a cost. Comes with a cost. True love is more than a sentiment. In fact, it is a verb. Love is a verb. Thomas Aquinas said this, and I quote, "Whoever loves much does much," close quote. Somebody telling you they love you, but they never do anything to show that love, they don't love you. Love is action. It is a verb. It's a labor. In fact, labor of love is the hallmark witness of the church, not our evangelical faith statements, not our buildings, not the way we dress, not our mission statement, and we have one, it's on the wall out in the foyer. But labor of love is a hallmark. witness of the church. Why do I say that? Because of what our master said. Jesus said in John 13, by this all will know that you are my disciples. Why? Because I've memorized the four spiritual laws. I know the Roman road because I've been to Bible college. Because I come to church every week? No, by this they will know you're my disciples. What is it? If you have love for one another. There it is. That is the witness. This is how they will know. And when people come here to this fellowship, that's the one thing I hear them talk about, is how people love one another and how they were loved and greeted. That's the hallmark witness of the church. Sometimes in the church we forget this and we fight amongst ourselves and we devour one another. You wonder why people don't want to come to my church. Because they've heard of your church's reputation. There's all kind of division and fighting and all that going on. Let us labor in love for one another. Husbands, you've got to labor in love. I know when you get home and you're tired, you don't feel like doing much, but you got to labor. Wives, you got to labor in love. It's going to cost you something. Because that's what true love does. Because true love left heaven. It cost him everything and came to earth. It was brutally crucified for you and for me. That's what love does. Love costs us something. I love what Augustine said in relationship to the church. He said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity, which is love. Amen. Fighting and squabbling over the non-essentials is what I see happening in the church a lot of times. Non-essential. Should we sprinkle people for baptism or should we dunk them? Should we pour water over the top of it? I don't know. It's a non-essential. Just be baptized. Amen. It's a non-essential. And yet churches just split over the color of carpet and over, you know, things that are non-essential. Non-essential. Presbyterians and Baptists or whatever, other churches down the road, they don't do things exactly the way we do it. We don't do it exactly the way they do it and all that. So what? Do you love Jesus? Are you united over the essentials that Jesus Christ is Lord? Amen. That he is risen. Amen. Are you united over the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that is mentioned in Scripture? Are you united over the virgin birth, the things that are essential to our salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then the non-essential things, the fact that you've got blue carpet, we have red carpet or whatever, it doesn't matter. But in all things, so that we might be a witness and people may know that we belong to Jesus, there should be love. So if we're going to continue to fly right, you've got to keep your eye on that instrument panel, that labor of love, that gauge, so that we can straighten up and fly right. Even when we are disoriented. Work of faith, labor of love, and the third gauge we have on the instrument panel is patience of hope. Patience of hope. That word patience, again, another study in Greek, hupomone is the word in Greek for patience. It speaks of that which is cheerful. Cheerful? Yeah. Or hopeful, endurance, and abiding under. Constancy. Now, this is not just hanging in there, but this is a cheerful expectation in the Lord. My expectation, Lord, is in you. Oh, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My expectation, Lord, is in you. And it's a cheerful expectation that weeping may endure for the night, but joy always comes in the morning. There's been a lot of weeping in my life as a believer, but I tell you what, joy has always come in the morning. God has brought me through things I thought I could never get out of. Now, this sort of patience, he's talking about patience of hope, it's patience that is really born out of trials. You know, I know we don't like that. I want to read a book on patience. I'll take the test, Pastor. I'll take the course in Bible college on patience. That's not how you get patience, man. It's going through trials. And by the way, it's not how we get true joy. It's going through trials, and those trials produce joy. Did you know that? Trials produce joy. As we experience, here's where the joy comes from, as we experience the faithfulness of God in every trial. that God gives you a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that's not happiness, but it's a divine joy that you have when the world says you should be falling apart, but you got joy. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. That comes through the patience of hope. My expectation being in the Lord. James said in James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all what? Joy. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, that you may be mature. God uses the patience of hope as we're patiently waiting upon God to bring us into maturity. Trials produce patience, and patience is the path to perfection, maturity, and fullness in Christ. Let me tell you something. There is no alternative path. And there are churches out there that would tell you that you don't have to go through any trials. That's not true. James just said, count it all joy when you're going through trials. Because it's bringing you, here's the reason why, it's bringing you into your divine purpose. Patience and trials will bring you into your divine purpose.
Trials are no fun, to be sure. But as Pastor Al just reminded us, they're God's way of teaching us to be more dependent on Him. COVID-19, runaway inflation, high prices for gas and food. Are you feeling overwhelmed today? Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Now with the second half of today's message in 1 Thessalonians 1, here's Pastor Al.
A friend of mine said this at lunch the other day, and when I first heard it, I did the dog thing I didn't know how to take it, your dog hears a sound or something or whatever. Because it hit me kind of funny, but I thought, he's right. He said, Jesus did not fulfill his potential when he was here on earth, but he fulfilled his purpose. Did Jesus heal every sick person on the planet? No. Did he overthrow the Roman government? No. He did not reach his potential. His brothers wanted him to reach his potential. His brothers told him in John chapter 7, hey, you need to go and expose yourself to folks. You need a good marketing campaign. But Jesus was more focused on his purpose, not his potential. What I hear my father say, that's what I say. What I see my father do, that's what I do. He was more concerned with his purpose. And a lot of times we as Christians, this talking about patience of hope, we lose hope because we're trying to reach our potential rather than our purpose. Oh, you didn't hear that. All right, I'll say it again. Sometimes as Christians, we lose hope in times of patience because we're more concerned about our potential rather than our purpose in Christ. Movie stars and financiers on Wall Street and all these people, they reach their potential. Hey, I have maximized my earning power and their soul is empty. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You reach your potential, but you never found your purpose. And that purpose can only be found in Christ. And the only way you can get there is through patience of hope. Lord, I'm waiting upon you. Wait on the Lord, the Bible says. Patience of hope, that gauge on the instrument panel, fills you with cheerfulness and expectation in the Lord. Patience of hope enables you to fulfill your purpose in Christ. Jesus put it this way. Matthew chapter 10, he said, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. When he talks about losing your life, he's talking about that narcissistic inner person. That narcissistic inner person that life is all about you and nothing else. I'm going to tell on myself like I always do, amen? I was at home last Sunday. I was worn out, struggling with sickness and all of this. Bad, tough weekend. My brother-in-law's funeral. I was at home. We had the kids over and grandkids. And I got upset with my wife, and I shouted something out at her. Kids thought I lost my mind. Because dad doesn't normally do that. And my wife, oh, she's so sweet. She's so gracious. She didn't say anything. She just said, Al, there's something in the garage I think I need your help getting. You know, mama used to take you to the bathroom, but your wife would take you to the garage, amen? That narcissistic selfishness just came out, and she went out there, and I apologized and sent a text out to the kids later apologizing and all. I'm telling on myself, I know that, but I thought, oh, God, I thought I was over this. No, he's still working on you, amen? You have not arrived, amen? He's still working on you. I felt so bad. But the Lord said this, that narcissistic self, you need to die to. If you will lose that, you will find your purpose. Amen? If you will lose that, you will find your purpose. A lot of believers don't know their purpose because it's all still all about you. And until you lose your life for his sake, you'll never find it. You'll never find your purpose. It can only be found in Christ. And that requires, again, patience of hope. I'm going to patiently wait upon you. Look to you, Lord. And notice Paul says here in our text that the believers in Thessalonica, that he reminded them that you're exercising your patience of hope. And understand, as you're exercising your patience of hope, because sometimes you wonder, I don't even know if God's even looking at me anymore. I think he's forgotten my number. Forgotten where I live or whatever, you know. But Paul reminds him here, he says, you know what? The Father is looking. His eye is upon you. As he says here in verse 3, he says, this patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the what? Sight of our God and Father. And then he says, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. You are in the sight of your Father. You're not out of his sight. He cares about you. He knows that you've been patiently hoping and waiting in him. Keep your eye on that gauge. Keep your trust and your faith in the Father. You are in his sight. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye guides me, knowing, continue patience and hope, knowing that you are a vessel of his choosing, verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, that before the foundation of the world, he chose you. I don't know why God chose me, but he did. And for you to continue, as a sister came up to me yesterday after the service and said, well, I'm still struggling with some things and all. And I just said, you just keep following the Lord, keep serving the Lord. God chose you. He chose you. You belong to him. And for you to not continue in the Lord is for you to continue in unbelief. For you to continue in unbelief, your unbelief is saying, I don't believe God loves me or that God has chosen me or I am disagreeing with God's choice. You are God's choice. I don't know why he chose you. I don't know why he chose me. But we have been chosen before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. How does that all work? I don't know. But I know he knows the end from the beginning. And you're not here by accident. He has called you and brought you here and chosen you in him. And for you to put yourself down is to call that which God has selected junk. And God doesn't make junk. Amen. Amen. So stop putting yourself down. Knowing I might be jacked up or messed up, but I'm his mess. Knowing that I'm his chosen vessel. And because of that, every trial, everything you've been through, up times, down times, all of that is by design to bring you into your divine purpose for his glory. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 12, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, yes, even the ones that fall out. Do not fear, he said. Jesus is talking here. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And how many times Christians have walked away from God, although temporarily, maybe disoriented, because they believed the lie of the enemy who said, you're not worth a sparrow. Jesus said, if God cares about the sparrows, how much more valuable are you to him? In conclusion, this is about straightening up and flying right. Times when we're disoriented, God has given us that instrument panel. Paul commends the church of Thessalonica for having these qualities, these gauges, as I call them in the metaphor, the illustration. For us to keep our eye on those things, not our feelings, but to keep our eye on the work of faith, the labor of love, and patience of hope. So that we can live upright, man, in an upside down world. Keeping our eyes on the horizon, who is Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the Bible says, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The beauty about work and labor and patience is that it's all a reflection of the love of Jesus for us, a reflection of his work on the cross, a reflection of his labor of love for us, a reflection of his patience, his long suffering, and mercy toward me. Knowing that his mercies are new every morning, great is his faithfulness. And it's because of his patience, his long suffering, because of his labor of love and his work on the cross. It's all a reflection of his love. And so therefore, when we talk about straightening up and flying right and living in an upright position in an upside down world, all we're doing merely is responding to Christ's love for us. How can we but continue to keep our eyes on the gauges because of his great love for us? How can we turn away and doubt him now, the one who has purchased us and has brought us this far? Keep your eye on the horizon. If there's something in your life that is keeping you, hindering you from walking in works of faith or labor of love or patience of hope, now is the time to repent of it. Say, God, forgive me. I lay aside this idol and I set my eye on the horizon. If I can't see the horizon right now, I will set my eye on the gauges so that I can straighten up and fly right.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.